You're listening to Spellbound.
Hello again. It's episode 42 of Spellbound. We got another great two damn white guys for you guys today. A lot of guys. Got to work on that intro. Here with Andrew Rader again. The fax machine is back in the house.
I'm back as always.
Most of you already know Andrew, but for those who don't, he has a PhD from MIT in long-duration space flight and was the first place winner of Canada's Greatest Know-It-All, that big discovery series. I call him the fax machine because the man is a bipedal encyclopedia. Today we're talking about something really controversial, but it's the right amount of controversial because we're talking about food. We're talking about what you should be eating. I guess from a moral standpoint, we're going to be talking about the consciousness of animals, how aware different animals are and how intelligent they are. And then also what we should do about animal testing and should we be eating animals? We haven't really planned this out. We're just going to kind of talk through it and just kick it around. But that's basically what we're going to be talking about. Andrew, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, I don't think it's only food. It's animals in general. What do animals know? What can they feel? What can they think?
Yeah.
And how we should treat them, basically. Yeah. And what, you know, on a moral scale, how do animals compare to humans?
You just got in from dinner. I guess we should know what you had tonight.
Yeah, I did eat chicken, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So neither of us are vegetarians, but I guess I'm kind of trying to argue from a vegetarian perspective to some extent at the end. Although I guess my main point is that it's not cut and dry. Like, people tend to think in categories. It's either one category, it's the other. And I think with animals and with many things in morality, actually, everything, pretty much everything in life, it's a spectrum. And it's a continuous spectrum. It's not like one is bad and one is good. It's like there's different places on a sliding scale. And let's talk about that scale.
There's different outcomes for every action.
Yeah, it's not different. I mean, it's that there's different ways to judge things. And things are neither good nor bad. They're kind of, everything's a little bit gray. I mean, some things are clearly pretty bad and pretty damn dark gray.
Right. But we should think about the consequences of our action, including our food and what impact that has on the environment as well, not just the animals and their well-being, but also the environment. Although it is funny, one thing I will say before we get into the animal consciousness stuff, one thing that is really funny is vegetarianism and veganism is touted as this really it's like the best thing you can do for the environment. Like, why are you not vegetarian? But it's like number 11 on the list of things, as we established in that episode with Allison Van Enenom.
Yep.
The top 20 things you can do for the environment or whatever.
Yeah.
Veganism was like number 11. The best thing you could do is never get on an airplane again. But that's, you know, impossible for a lot of people, including myself.
Yeah.
Not to mention vegans who are, you know, the ones jet setting all over the place half the time. Never getting in your car again, never turning on your air conditioner again. Those are the top three.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really all it's cracked up to be from an environmental standpoint. Every little bit does help, though.
Yep. That's true. That was pretty eye-opening, actually.
Me too.
I think there are several arguments for vegetarianism. The environment, I thought, was one of them. It sort of still is a little bit, but not nearly as much as I thought. Again, like, I don't think everyone should be vegetarians necessarily. I guess we're going to talk about, you know, where that kind of falls.
We just lost half the listeners, Andrew. What are you doing?
I think there's a strong argument for it, but I don't know that it's like cut and dry, basically. It's kind of like a continuum.
Right.
It's not one or the other.
I'm mostly vegetarian. I eat some meat. I eat eggs and stuff, but, you know, mainly just I love eating plants and salads I eat every day. But we're not here to talk about our diets. We're here to talk about...
No, we are. That's actually a really good point, because if you think eating meat is like a little bit bad, eating half as much meat is half as bad.
There you have it.
Right?
Yeah.
Everything's a continuum, right? So if you eat less meat, it's some proportion of the way to eating none.
Right. Well, let's get into the animals. Let's talk about how smart they are. There's an official list, right, of like the smartest animals and which ones are most aware.
I'm not sure.
Isn't there?
Well, I mean, I think we have some general ideas. Dolphins are clearly much smarter than humans, according to the Hitchhiker's Guide.
They're smarter?
Yeah, and the mice are the smartest, right? Hitchhiker's
Well,
Guide.
They've survived the longest. They have the lowest standards.
The mice are conducting an experiment on humans.
Yeah.
They just like created this world for us to put us in a maze.
So why do they say dolphins are smarter than humans?
Okay, no, they're not, probably, but they are very smart.
I haven't seen any dolphin civilizations anywhere.
Well, they have pretty good communication. Dolphins have as much neocortex as humans or close to. I mean,
really?
Their brains are a little bit bigger, but their like lining is smaller. And I think they have a brain capacity that's similar to humans. It's, I think, the closest of any animals in terms of the brain capacity.
Wow.
Obviously, they have great problem-solving skills. They are pretty good at playing. Which is a sign of intelligence. They recognize themselves in mirrors. So if you put like a dot on their face, they'll be able to tell that it's their face, and they love looking at themselves in the mirrors and they examine their teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of the tests that researchers use to tell how intelligent an animal is. Can they recognize themselves in a mirror?
That's a good test.
And dolphins pass it. Elephants pass it. Chimpanzees pass it. Not that many other animals pass it. Like dogs do not pass this, I think.
Babies.
So being able to tell that you are the animal in the reflection, that's a pretty advanced skill. Mm-hmm, like humans can't do that until they're like 2 years old, I think.
Yeah. That makes sense. There's a lot going on in that that moment.
Like I have a baby. The baby looks in the mirror, probably thinks it's another baby.
Yeah. Right? I think they've actually, there's studies that have actually shown that's what the babies think up until a certain age.
Yeah. Yeah. Object permanence. That's another big one. So babies at some point learn that objects exist. So even if you put like an object under a cup, the object is still there. And if you remove the cup, you'll find the object. Whereas babies don't realize that. I mean, that's like a brain explosion for a baby.
Yeah. Well, babies are on like an acid trip until they're age four. There's total. They're like pure subconscious until they're age four. Because they're not forming any memories or anything.
Right. Right. Well, are they not? I mean, it's true that up
until three or four,
retain your memories, but is it true that they don't have them?
Yeah, they're not. They're purely subconscious up until like age three or four. They're just.
No, that's not true because like my baby recognizes me. That's definitely a memory.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but they're not. That's different. Recognition is different from memory. I mean, it's not like remembering the past, like something you did, like remembering a chain of events, you know, things like that. That's a very complicated skill to learn, I think.
Yeah, but recognition requires memory because you have to remember that you saw this thing before.
Up until a certain age, they're totally not forming memories the way that you and I mean when we say memories. They will remember you as their parent, of course. I mean, even my newborn already recognizes me. And he's like 3 weeks old, you know, like, of course they can remember people, especially people that they see all the time. But
so people say like goldfish's memory is 8 seconds or something like that. But that's not true because goldfish can be trained to learn to respond to food. When you put food in the tank, they'll come up to the tank.
Yeah, that's true.
To the surface. And that's a memory.
Right? Is that a different part of the brain though? Because you can train pretty much any animal, but that doesn't mean that they're smart.
All animals have memory, I think. I bet ants have some form of memory.
Yeah.
Like bees have some form of memory.
Yeah, some form of memory.
I mean, maybe it's not as complex. Like maybe it's not recollective in the sense that they could tell a story from it, but they definitely have memory. This is kind of the crux of the animal rights argument, or at least one angle of it, is many animals, chimpanzees, dolphins, dogs, are more advanced. And pigs and even many animals that we eat, even cows and things, you know, are smarter than a human baby or a human in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
So would you extend rights to life, rights to safety, security, lack of harm, suffering to a baby or to a person in a coma? Of course you would.
Yeah, well, it comes down to like
you extend that to the same to an animal, right? So, like, what is the difference between a human and another animal?
I think a lot of people think of it in terms of animals that are either like a surplus or that they're not contributing anything, anyways. So we might as well eat them, and that's just not a very well-rounded way to look at it.
Contributing anything?
I mean, I'm not defending this. I'm just saying this is what people think.
Well, I don't think that there is a really good argument, except that they're different in some way.
Right.
Okay. So they're not us. They're a different category. It's non-continuous thinking. It's like it's humans and animals. But the thing is, all life is this spectrum. Like we share a common ancestor with all other animals on Earth. There are distant cousins. If you trace it back, you can trace a continuous line from us to them. You know, there used to be other types of humans that were not that different from us, but would they have been animals? Who knows, right?
Could we have eaten them? Would that have been cannibalism?
Good question. Would that be just like hunting another species, or would it be cannibalism?
Well, I guess in that point, it's like they have to be at least over 0.9% different genetically in order to justify.
Well, chimpanzees are like 99 or 98% similar to us.
Oh, I thought it was 99. That's why I was using that figure. Whatever it is, there's like a 1 or 2% threshold that makes it okay to eat something.
Based on what? Like,
I'm saying, like,
where do you draw the line? Anything you try to use to distinguish animals that we eat or mistreat from humans, you can also use that distinction to draw a line to classes or statuses of humans,
right,
that we would extend protections to, like a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the difference between a baby and an ape? In terms of cognition, the ape is superior. In terms of ability for feelings, for like anticipation of harm, for sensing suffering, an ape is superior.
Yeah, but, you know, people are predisposed to, you know, prefer creatures that look more like themselves, but are like drawn towards things we have more in common with. And
yeah, but that's entirely speciesist and not based on any rational argument. You're just saying they're different without kind of saying how they're different.
Like, I'm just saying that I'm just saying people value people over animals.
I understand that, but there's a 1%, and I guess I'm mocking it.
That was my joke earlier about there's a 1% threshold that makes it okay. But
right,
like, you,
that's exactly my point is, yeah, I don't think there's any rational argument you could put together for why that would be the case that doesn't come down to some kind of speciesist argument like we're better than them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, I'm a bit speciesist too. I kind of think humans are more important, but you can't really figure out a rational argument for why they are.
Yeah.
And so all this means is that even if we're going to say that humans trump animals to some extent, which a lot of people wouldn't say, but I mean, in fact, 25% of Americans think that animals should have the exact same rights as people.
Hmm.
Which is interesting.
That's a legal mess.
Because only 4% are vegetarian.
Huh, that is interesting.
So basically, 19% think they're eating beings who should have the same rights as people.
Well, I think this is actually what I was going to say next is I think a lot of people, A, don't think about it. They just eat, and a lot of Americans just eat meat by default because it's, you know, been the staple here since, you know, forever, like a meat and a couple of vegetables. And so I think a lot of people don't think, but I also think there's a lot of people who would just say, well, if I didn't eat this cow, a wolf in the wild would just eat it. And we wouldn't say that a wolf is, you know, that it's wrong for a wolf to eat it. So why is it wrong for me to eat it? And I would say it's like, it comes down to if you're raising the animal for the food, the animal in and of itself is a product. It's not an animal. It's being raised to become food. And so it's the animal's life is a means to an end, not a means of itself. So it's, you know, it is a product, but it's I still eat it occasionally. So I don't, maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, I mean, morality is being able to make a choice and, you know, opting for the least harm. Right. So, yeah, wolves eat. They don't eat cows, but wolves eat other animals in the wild. Lions eat other animals in the wild. No question. Like, nature is super, super cruel. There's wasps that come and lay their eggs in caterpillars, and the baby wasps eat the caterpillars from the inside, and that's where they got the idea for aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For the movie, alien movies, popping out the chest bursters.
Right.
But so nature's really awful. That there's no doubt about it. But we have a choice. And morality is being able to make a choice. Like, humans by their nature are violent. Like, humans in the wild, so to speak, you know, humans a million years ago would have gone around attacking each other, clubbing each other. Not that we still don't, but we try to prevent that. We have laws in society and morals to try to prevent
Fortunately.
That. They went around, like, raping people. I mean, that was basically, they would just take mates. Like, human rights didn't exist. Women's rights didn't exist. I mean, basically, it was kind of all for all. And yeah, there was family and tribes, and, you know, you would support your family and stuff like that. But outsiders were outsiders, and there was a lot of violence.
Right.
So
reason, we have to come back to reason is what we're saying.
The argument that it's natural to eat animals is true, but it's also not a valid moral standpoint. Like, you can't use that to say it's moral because it's natural, because the whole point of morals is to go beyond our nature and try to make ourselves better.
Right. Oftentimes morality counters what nature tells us to do.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Morality is kind of nonsensical sometimes, but it makes sense when you rationalize it. When you use reason, all these things make sense. It's like, oh yeah, science has proven. In fact, there was a study done last year that was apparently definitive proof, finally, after like thousands of studies, that animals are actual conscious beings. It's like, do we really need another one of these? But this one,
exactly. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious if you even look at animals for a little while. Animals clearly exhibit emotions. In fact, that's mostly what they exhibit is emotions, especially mammals and things like that. Like, anyone who has dogs know clearly.
Yeah, a dog is all emotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's why I don't have them.
Dogs can be afraid. Dogs can, be afraid of things and anticipate fear. They get lonely when their masters are away.
Yeah, I've had dogs. I prefer kids, personally, because you can tell them you'll be right back.
Clearly, animals can experience pain and suffering, fear, all these things that we would normally take as reasons not to be cruel. So I think you must extend some extent of the same rights we would as people, but it's not necessarily 100%. Like, I think we need to use continuous thinking and recognize that animals have definitely rights to protection. I think actually most Americans recognize that. I mean, there are laws against animal cruelty.
What kind of protection? Because if you're raising the animal at all, like, I mean, people don't just raise animals just as, like, you're not going to have herders herding just tons of sheep or, you know, cows because they want to. They're going to do it because the animal is doing something for them. The animal has no choice. So, like, it's kind of a bigger question. It's like, what do you do about the whole thing?
Yeah, no question. But it's also not just a matter of how they end up. So animals that are raised for food can be raised in different ways. Some are pretty humane and some are downright cruel. For example, the United States, I think 9 states have banned, what is it called? Birthing crates for sows, for pigs, female pigs, where they can't move around. Like, some of the stuff that goes on in farming, factory farming in particular, can be really cruel. Taking away the piglets and killing them so that they enter estrus early again, giving them no room to move around, and docking their tails so that it's painful so that they don't bite them. Things like that. So there's lots of examples of things that are cruel, and you can raise animals in a more humane way. And people are starting to move in that direction. Like, in Europe, I think most eggs now are free range because they started enforcing labels. This chicken was confined to the space of an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and could not open its wings in its cage.
But what I'm saying is, what about the whole thing of having a, what about the whole industry? Because if you're, that thing you just said is what I've said to hundreds of vegans in the past, like, who've tried to convince me to be vegan. I've said, well, it all has to do with quality of life. Cause I get my meat from a good butcher, the animals are supposedly having a great life, but the whole industry is like these animals are just kind of slaves. And even if they have a great life, like, it, would it be better for them to be out in the wild? Or, like, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying.
No one's suggesting we dump domesticated animals in the wild. They wouldn't survive.
That's not what I'm suggesting either.
We're suggesting that maybe you don't need to raise so many domesticated animals and we make the shift. And what you're saying is, you make an effort to eat, like, lower cruelty farm produced animals. That's great. And you're saying that is, like, perfect. But I don't think so. It's a spectrum. And so the best possible outcome is to be vegan, I think. That being said, like, eating less meat is better. You know, I'm not vegan, but I mean, I think we should aim to cause the least harm as possible.
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I'm not defending the meat industry, nor am I actually attacking it. I am just kind of asking a question because I was reading this. I didn't even know BBC had this, but they have a ethics guide, which is really fascinating. I was reading this argument that BBC did on should you eat meat, and it has all these different, I'm not going to go through it because it's too long, but I would encourage people to look at it because it's fascinating. It goes through all the different possible arguments for or against it and like lays out all the things you can say. And it's pretty spot on. But one of the questions it raises is we've created this generation of animals that is a product, you know, through society. Through the domestication process, we now have a bloodline of animals that are just products. And it's kind of fascinating to think about it that way.
Well, I mean, in the sense that they wouldn't survive in the wild, but they're not products from an emotional perspective. I mean, I think they're sentient beings, basically. And
yeah, I do
too. They have feelings and they understand things and they're probably smarter for being around humans. Like dogs, for example, are, in a communication sense, smarter than chimps. Like chimps are better problem solvers, but dogs are better at interpreting human behavior. They can understand pointing, for example. Most animals can't understand pointing, but because dogs evolved in conjunction with humans for so long, for like 40,000 years, dogs basically are bilingual. They understand dog and they understand human. They can read our faces, our facial expressions. They can understand pointing. Elephants, by the way, understand pointing too. Which is kind of weird because wild animals generally don't do that because they haven't been around humans as much. But I think it might be because elephants point with their trunks.
Yeah, it is a conundrum because the whole factory farming thing, I hadn't thought about it from that perspective until just tonight when I was looking at this debate, this ethics guide on BBC. But it kind of, one of the arguments suggests that like the whole thing is just, you know, a product. And I'm like, when you think about it that way, it's kind of disturbing.
So I think more people would be vegetarian if they saw the whole process. I think we're all basically in denial. So, you know, some people would go out and hunt animals. 20%, I think, of American households have a hunter. And that's actually, I think hunting is okay, really. Like, that is
the best way to do it.
Nature argument. I kind of think, like, if you're going to go out and kill animals yourself, at least you're being honest. The only issue I really have with our meat industry is the moral outsourcing. So it's kind of like this thing shows up that's delicious on your plate. Where did it come from? Like, you don't even think that, oh, this is actually like a piece of a living being. You know, this is like their muscle tissue. This is like their arm.
Right. Well, most people can't even stomach carving a Thanksgiving turkey.
Yeah, well, if you can't carve the meat, you probably shouldn't eat it. You know?
Yeah, that's what I think.
If you want to eat a steak, you better be willing, I think, to butcher a cow.
That's what I think too. Yeah, you should. I mean, and somebody asked me this recently. I was kind of talking to them about veganism versus, you know, eating meat, and they were like just railing me, even though I wasn't really arguing for anything. I was just engaging in a conversation, and they were like, "Would you kill an animal out in the wild?" And they asked me like, kind of like they were backing me into a corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, "Hell yeah, I would."
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's actually the main issue from a moral perspective is that we're not seeing what's actually happening. We're not confronted with the realities of, like, there's, I guess, some documentaries that show, like, the horrendous things that actually go on in slaughterhouses and things like that. But people just are like ostriches with their heads in the sand and don't really kind of understand what's actually happening. And if you understand it and you're okay with it, then I guess more power to you to some extent. I mean, it is kind of natural. But we've come a long way, actually. It's not just in terms of eating meat, but people used to be a lot crueler to animals than we are today. Standards in labs have changed a lot so that animals used in experiments, first of all, the types of animals used in experiments have been limited a lot. And then their treatment has changed dramatically, so they're treated a lot better than they used to be. It was hundreds of years ago. Descartes thought that animals were basically just automatons, that they just, we talked about this before, but basically they were just doing impulses. So they would just like react to things, but didn't, you know, think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
He thought they were just response machines. So you could do anything you wanted to them. I guess Adam and Eve in the Bible, Genesis, it's dominion awarded unto all the beasts of the earth, right?
So, right.
You know, religion explicitly gives humans command over all the animals.
It gives you permission for a lot of things we do in society.
You can do anything you want with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've come a long way, and so less cruelty today. People, like, I think even like bullfighting is going away, and certainly in America and in Russia and other places, there was used to be bear baiting. So they would tie a bear to a stake and have dogs attack it, and basically
oh
have people
my
like,
punch gosh.
Kick it. And, oh yeah, for fun, like cockfighting, dog fighting, all
oh
kinds
my
of things.
Gosh.
Like people thought that you could just use animals for anything you want. Even things like dog racing and horse racing are starting to decline just because, like, should animals be used for our pleasure, right? Like, food is one thing because, you know, everyone's got to eat. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to treat them poorly. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to eat meat. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, using animals for pleasure is morally dubious, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I mean, survival in and of itself is selfish, you know. I mean, even if you're eating a plant, if it, you know, that's food that somebody else who's starving right now is not going to eat. It's not available to them. And I know that's like a really absurd way to look at it, but I mean, how many people die of starvation every day? I mean, so.
Yeah, but there's more than enough food to feed everyone on Earth. It's more a transportation problem. So, I mean, when there's famines in the world, it's that you can't bring the food into there because it's a war zone. It's not safe to transport there. So that kind of thing. It's not really 100%. Because there's not enough food.
Also, the meat industry has come a long way, especially since Temple Grandin, who was actually on Spellbound episode number 6. She was revolutionary in the meat industry. She took the meat industry from like, it was terrible before she changed it. It was like a 90% increase in animal rights in the meat industry. And I know it's still not perfect. I mean, we're sitting here talking about should it even exist at all, obviously, but it has come a long way. I think that we owe ourselves a little bit of a pat on the back because we've come a long way in, you know, the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's kind of my point, is that things change over time. Our perspective on this changes over time, and we're constantly kind of moving in a direction of less cruelty, more morality, thinking about what we're doing, thinking about our actions, recognizing animals are other beings that share the planet with us.
Right.
I do think that in the long run, eventually, everyone will not eat meat, just like in Star Trek. There's this episode in The Next Generation where they take on these aliens, and the aliens need to eat meat, like actual meat from animals, and they're all, the crew of the Enterprise are shocked because they're like, what? You guys actually seriously eat meat? That's just like barbaric.
That's amazing. Wow, they were so ahead of their time.
Oh, yeah. Well, Star Trek was ahead on everything. It had the first interracial kiss on television.
Wow. Wow. What a revolutionary show. I'm not really up on any TV, much less Star Trek, but I feel like that show has just set so many records.
Yeah, but it's economics, and it's also, there's so many people, 95% or 96% of Americans eat meat. And obviously, you know, destroying the meat industry is going to totally change the way people eat. But, you know, we need to produce protein for people. It's like actually something that people need to eat to some extent. Not
we're going
to
be eating seitan.
But yeah, but we need to have alternatives, right? It's economics that's going to drive it. Unless you give people alternatives that are like true replacements, they're not going to just switch over. So that's why, like, vegans are not, I mean, in the long run, they might win or they might kind of convert everyone, but it's going to take a long time and it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
And it's not just a moral question. I mean, arguing the moral question with people is not going to win the day. It has to be the economic question of, here's an alternative that tastes just as good, that does no harm, that is just as cheap and looks
well,
good.
Well, it'll be cheaper,
and tastes
too.
Good and, right. Well, I mean, and this is why I think basically meat will be produced. Like, have you ever had the Impossible Burger? This is what I get. I got this once with you, right?
It's good, yeah.
It's so good. Impossible Burger. Basically, have to have, that's the
dare I say, it's impossible.
Yeah. But it's so good. I like it a lot better than a beef burger.
Yeah, you feel great afterwards. I mean you're eating a lot of bread. Awesome. You're eating a lot of bread, but it's you feel
is it,
much
is it
better.
I don't think it's carbs. It's not a lot
yeah,
of carbs.
Carbs Carbs slow me down. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't think the Impossible Burger is mostly carbs. I'm not really.
Oh, I'm just saying because burgers are mostly bread.
Just burgers in general? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I think that's kind of the future is the Impossible Burgers and things like that. Impossible.
Everybody's
steaks.
Just going to survive on Impossible Burgers. We're going to have to change that verse in the New Testament that says, it's going to say, man cannot live on Impossible Burgers alone.
But they probably can. Hey, by the way, if you had to pick one food, only one food on an island, desert island, what would it be?
Avocado.
You would. It's not a bad choice because it has a lot of it's a lot of fat, which is good.
It's the most well-rounded food.
Is it really?
Yeah, from what I understand. I mean, you might bust me on
does
that.
Does it have enough protein? I'm not sure. Like milk is a good one.
But that's not food. I mean, you don't want to just drink milk. I mean, we only evolved to eat milk.
Like, just drink.
Oh, milk. I see. You're gonna survive on breast milk. You're going to keep your mom lactating for like 30 years?
Or like the Maasai in Africa, they herd cows and they mix the milk from the cows and blood from the cows. They just drain the cows and
good
a bit of blood and they don't kill them.
Sounds like an Ozzy Osbourne concert.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, in the Serengeti. So that'd probably be a good choice. Are you allowed to pick a choice that includes multiple ingredients like that?
I'm sticking with the avocado. Also, you can use the avocado for like shampoo and like body scrub and like all this stuff. Yeah. It's perfect.
That's true.
Give me the avocado.
Yeah, you're such a millennial. Avocado. Avocado toast.
Now we're talking about our dietary habits again. We're not here to talk about what we eat. We're talking about what should we all eat, I guess.
Not just eat, but just the whole animal cruelty thing and what animals know. So we talked about dogs. Dolphins being really smart, recognizing themselves in the mirror. Elephants are another one. Octopus?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, octopus. Smart.
Yeah, they're like a intelligence that is completely separate from any other intelligence on Earth. So octopus's close relatives are snails. Snails mm-hmm. are not known for being smart. Snails.
Both of those creatures have decentralized cognition.
Yeah, so but octopus are really smart. They're good problem solvers.
Right.
Good communicators. They can like climb out of a tank,
really?
Climb over to the next tank and eat the fish. They can open jars.
Oh my gosh. Look out for the slugs.
Well, it's because they're omnivores and they have soft bodies. So they're weak, basically, like humans. But they're basically like us. We're omnivores and we're weak omnivores, right?
Yeah.
We don't have claws or teeth or fangs or venom or anything like that. Like octopus. So they have to figure shit out for themselves. And they size up an opponent. So if a shark comes along, they'll be like, oh, that's pretty strong. I'm not going to be able to beat it in combat, one-on-one combat. So I'm going to have to disguise myself or maybe.
And they can change colors.
In a cloud and change colors. Yeah, exactly. They can change colors. They can release dye. They can use tools. They can like hide behind coconuts.
It's freaky seeing them change colors. It's so
yeah,
fast.
Yeah. They can squeeze through an opening the size of their eyeball.
Oh my gosh. There must be tons of octopuses in heaven because of that verse in the Bible that says it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. So the octopus just squeeze right through
octopus
that rule,
can
Jesus.
Actually do it. I got this. Hold my beer.
He's like, I got this, Jesus. The octopuses are coming for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. The octopuses are going to take over. It's not crazy to think that there could be some like really highly advanced octopus that we've never found because it's way smarter than us, right? I mean, you just said dolphins are smarter than humans and they're a sea creature. So like octopuses predate humans as an organism, right? Like in our bacterial youth. So is it crazy to think that there's like really smart octopuses out there?
Well, the dolphin thing was a joke, but...
yeah, but you said they're really smart.
Yeah.
They have a neocortex.
There are definitely like sea creatures were still turning up at the bottom of the ocean. There was like the headless chicken creature last week, I think.
What? I didn't hear about that.
Coelacanth, which is a type of fish. By the way, fish is not a thing. Like coelacanth is more closely related to us than it is to many other types of fishes. Fish is just like a name that we give for things that swim with fins, but they're not that closely related. Like fish is such a wide group.
Right.
It's a much broader category than mammal is, for example. Basically, it's like if we took land animals with four legs and made them a category, like lumping tortoises and alligators in with dogs. And
right. Right. Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like that. It's like anything with four legs that walks on land, that's a fish.
Right.
But it's the opposite. It's anything with fins that swims in the ocean.
This is just further evidence that people don't use their brains when they're thinking.
Well, people didn't really know that. So,
well, they just lump these fish. You said they lump fish together, and I'm like, this seems like the same mistake they make when they just lump all animals as like separate from humans when they eat them.
Yeah, but this is an old mistake. In fact, they used to lump in beavers with fish because they had scales on their tails. So you used to be able to eat beavers for Lent. You know how during Lent you could only eat fish, you could eat other types of meat?
It was actually permitted?
The Catholic Church officially ruled beavers a type of fish so that the French Canadians in Canada could eat beaver.
I guess beaver must be tasty. There was enough demand.
Well, I don't think it was demand so much as lack of other food.
Yeah, well, supply and demand.
Yeah. A lack of supply. Yes. More than demand.
Well, that about does it for us today. If you guys want to tweet us, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here on Twitter. Also the same name on Facebook and Instagram, although I'm not really active on social media. Andrew, however, is. You can message him at Mars Raider on Twitter. If you're enjoying the show, consider subscribing. It's a great way to make episodes magically appear on your phone when they're available. If you really want to support us, you can rate us or leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps tremendously. This has been Spellbound. I'm Julian Smith. Thanks so much for listening. See you guys next Monday.